Thanks, JR, for singing the songs that talk about singing. And that's what I wish to speak with you tonight. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, and we'll just dive right in. Hebrews chapter 2 and the 12th verse. We'll let serve as a bit of an introduction to a lesson I call Sing and Be Happy. Hebrews 2, let's go back to 11 so we walk into the verse 12, rather than starting abruptly. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. But then he adds this, in the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Assembly singing is great to Jesus, so it ought to be great to us. In the midst of the assembly, I'll sing praise to you, Father, with my brethren. It is a wonderful thing to sing in church, when we are gathered in church to sing together. Yeah, the acoustics are great here. I really do like the acoustics of this room, and hopefully our new auditorium will be no different. But whether it is or isn't good sounding, God loves singing, and we should too. May God bless this lesson tonight to help us in appreciating that, as J.R. mentioned, we're not just singing. This is very much an instrumental part of God's plan for His people. Just as important as pulpit preaching? Just as important as pulpit preaching. Just as important as prayer? Just as important as prayer. Now this will be challenging. Just as much important, or just as important as the Lord's Supper? Just as important as the Lord's Supper. Now I understand the Lord's Supper has a peculiar place and time in the Sunday activities that may not be every other day of the week. Singing is different in that sense. But I sure wouldn't want to make it a second rung, second class activity that we can tack on after we do the important stuff in the assemblies. The singing of the saints is an extremely important activity, and we must give it our best attention. The Lord has addressed the types of songs that He wants sung. I like the Star Spangled Banner just like the next American does, but it is not the kind of song, patriotic songs, that the Lord has said, I want in your relationship with me. Turn to Ephesians 5:19 and you'll see the three types of songs He does wish. Ephesians chapter 5 and the 19th verse. Well, once again, we're in the middle of a sentence, so let's back up to 18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, and here's the list, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right, so there you've got it. Psalms? Well, psalms, I believe, are the what you think of as psalms in our Bible. I guess you could write psalms otherwise, but I think here the context would be being in the Bible. The biblical psalms is what's being spoken about. There's 150 of them recorded in the Old Testament, and they were originally sung. And we can sing them too. The most famous? The Lord is my shepherd, of course. There are others, but that's the one most everyone's heard, and there's different even tunes to that song, or that psalm, if you will. And then hymns. Hymns are songs of praise. I like the Sacred Selection book okay, but one thing it's not so good at is having praise songs. It doesn't have as many of them as I would like, but our little devotional books that have been put together recently have more of that, and so there's a good place for songs that just praise how God is good and God is great. And then spiritual songs. Spiritual songs would be a more general category, if you will, of songs that have to do with the inner man. Songs that have to do with your relationship with God. That spiritual songs category catches a lot, I know, but God has indicated that will be quite all right in our song service to sing spiritual type songs. Let me give you a couple Old Testament references. First Chronicles. That'll be the part of your Bible you have to sort of pull the pages apart because you don't go there often. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. That's where the pages are all stuck together. 1 Chronicles. When I was preparing this lesson, I had to, there's just lots and lots and lots of verses to choose from. Well, I know you don't want to be here till midnight with the list, so I just picked two or three. To give you a sampling of Old Testament passages that refer to singing. And here's a couple in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Dropping down to 23, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. And then how about those psalms? Go over to Psalm number 47. Come over to the book of Psalms, the 47th Psalm, number 47, verses 6 and 7. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to the King. Can you be more redundant? Sing praises. I get the point. No, he's not through yet. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. I think I get it. We're to be singing. Of course. And these are, by all means, just two or three out of many. I don't know if it's 100, but there's just lots of them. And I just selected two or three to give you an idea of how the Old Testament speaks of singing. Now let's go to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. In the Old Testament, it was big. In heaven, you'll see it big. In Revelation chapter 15 and verse number 3. In Revelation 15 and verse 3, picturing heaven, you can back up into verse, well, let's just go ahead and do that. Back up to 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And what does it sound like? Well, he says it's also the song of the Lamb. And it sounds like this. Great and, well, I won't put a tune to it. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. I'd like to put a tune to that one day. They are singing redemption sweet song, as the song we just sang earlier. They're singing Moses' song of deliverance, the servant of the Lord, and the song of the Lamb, our Savior, Jesus Christ. What's so good about it? What is so good about singing in church? Primarily, that's my consideration tonight, but if you'd like to go with it elsewhere, I hope you will. Don't limit it to the church building. I would encourage you to do. But, yeah, primarily I guess I'm thinking in the church. What good is it? I've got a lot of answers to that question. First of all, sing to be happy. Or as the song says, sing and be happy. Whether you need to sing to be happy or you sing because you're happy. Either way, sing and be happy. Reader's Digest in February's edition says the way to be happy is to sing. Really? Reader's Digest said that? The Bible said that a long time before any Reader's Digest said it. But that's even looking at it secularly, you know, from a human, earthly, you know, carnal point of view. They recognize singing is good for your happiness. They're not even talking about it from a religious standpoint. God has known forever that singing is not just a religious requirement, although it is commanded, not just a suggestion for those that are so inclined. It is a commandment. Not solely is it just an approved way to worship God. Of course, that's right. But it's a way to be happy. It is a way to be happy. Try it. Sing and be happy, the song says. Though singing should not be solely entertainment, I'll be the first to sign off on that. It should not be solely for entertainment. There's nothing wrong with singing due to being happy. Look at James chapter 5 and 13, and you'll see why I'm so adamant and emphatic in the way I word that. Look at James chapter 5 and 13. Though we're not to sing just solely to be entertaining, there's a closeness to that, though, that's called sing because you're cheerful. Sing and be happy. Look at James 5, 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Sing! Get happy! open your voice in psalm to God in song. I understand that we need to be careful about turning singing into something that's nothing more than pleasure to our ears, lest eventually we become those who have choirs and choruses and soloists to entertain us, those best singers. But after that's safely avoided, after we've not gone there, sing to be happy. Sing and be happy. But I'm just having a hard time being happy. I'm just having a hard time. Then sing to raise your sagging heart to happiness, if that's the way it is. Look at Acts 16, 19 through 25 for this point. Sing because you're happy? Go for it. Sing because my heart is heavy and I want it to become happy? Go for it again. But sing and be happy. Acts chapter 16 and beginning in verse number 19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. I bet you it was just under their breath, so no, keep reading. And the prisoners were listening. They're singing out loud as their backs are bleeding, as they have been beaten with two or three, with many stripes. They were beaten with rods. And they are singing hymns loud enough that the other prisoners are hearing. So is your heart heavy? Is your back hurting? Sing. Sing. Number two, what's the purpose of singing, or what's so good about it? You need to sing to worship. To worship. Number two, psalms are great at this. Psalms are terrific praise songs, or psalms and songs. Many hymns are praises of God too. And as I mentioned, our devotional book has a lot of that kind of thing included. But sing to God. Sing to Him. Have Him be the receiver of your words, just as you would pray. Just as you would pray. I pray to God. I don't pray and God hopefully will hear me. No, I actually pray to Him. And likewise, don't just sing and I hope God hears me. Sing to Him. Sing to God in worship, expressing to Him your heartfelt admiration, how great you feel He is and think He is. Express to you, to Him, to His ears, just how much you think He is worth to you. And I said that purposely. Worship comes from the idea of worth. Ship. So that's the reason I said it that way. So how much is He worth to you? Then worship Him in songs. Number three, sing to edify other people that are listening. Go back to Ephesians again. We were there a moment ago. Let's return. Last time we were there, we were just saying that our songs need to be psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But I want to notice another thing that was not stressed when we were there before. What else is singing good for? Number one, it's a good way to be happy. If you're already happy, show it. Two, to get happy if somehow you're not at the moment. Number two, it's a terrific tool that God has given, a way, a means by which you talk with God, sing to God, worship God. Number three, it's a good way to edify others that are listening. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to one another. I already missed it. Speaking to one another. Well, you can't do any one anothering by yourself. Pardon the bad grammar, but you can't do one anothering by yourself. There's got to be at least two to one another, you know? You to me to you. Well, and here there's 50, 70, whatever we got here, one anothering in singing to one another. So we're to teach and encourage one another. Make sure the songs now convey true doctrine, since this is a teaching tool approved of God. It's okay to get up and read the Bible. That's good. Bible teaches that. It's good to expound on the Word of God. That's good too. I sure hope so, because I do a lot of it. That's great too. But you can also sing. You can also sing. Why? As a teaching tool. As a way to teach. Yourself? Yeah, well, we'll talk more about that in a moment. For now, teach others. Teach others that are listening. It's a great teaching tool. Go to Colossians. It's after Ephesians. If you're not familiar with the Bible books, I know some of you are relatively new to this. Look at Colossians 3. Come over a couple books after Ephesians. You'll find the little book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So it's a great teaching tool of others. Of others. But of course, also yourself, too, would have to be included in the one another idea, would it not? But it starts with letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, then teaching it in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The word of Christ turned into songs, if you will, teaching yourself and teaching others. In songs, we sometimes tell ourselves how we ought to be. This is one reason I have no problem, and you're welcome to have your opinion differ with mine on this point. I have no problem with songs that are ideally worded, meaning this is the way it ought to be. Here I am, bad grammar again. How it ought to be. For instance, I need thee every hour. Is that the truth? Well, it ought to be. And I'm going to sing it and try to convince myself that's the way it should be. Now you might say, well, the way you're acting, it sounds like you need him only when you get in trouble. Well, that's not how it ought to be. It ought to be, I need thee every hour. That's the truth of the way it should be. And the song encourages me to get my lack of ideal in line with more what ideally God would have it to be. So now if you differ with me, feel free. But I don't think it's lying necessarily for me to say, Lord, I need thee every hour. And you're something less than that at the moment. But it's the way I ought to be. So I'm teaching myself with, this is the way you ought to be. I'm expressing how I ought to be. Number four, if you're making a list, there's about, I forget exactly how many, five, six of them. Here's another one. What's so good about singing? It is a way to promote togetherness. I wish Mike was here. This is a point that Mike Price brought to my attention this past week. And I thought it was so good, I'm going to include it in the lesson. He indicated, and I love fresh perspectives of new Christians. Mike was just baptized a few weeks ago. And Mike said in his comments about the singing here and so forth, he says, it's a wonderful way, and this is almost a quote. I tried to remember exactly how he said it to me. It is a wonderful way to bring everyone together, he said. It is great to hear the others round about me singing. And George, he mentioned you in particular since he often sits near you. He says, it's powerful stuff. That's the way he worded it. It's powerful stuff. Yeah. Now, in my two cents, I said, don't we sometimes sing in unison? We're pulling together. We're singing it united. And I just thought that was terrific. Singing is a wonderful way to promote togetherness. All right? To promote togetherness. Harmonize without togetherness. It's going to be difficult. The word harmonizing even is the idea of blending together. All right, number five. Singing is good to help memorize. My memory's not so great, but singing sure helps me keep from losing it all together. I remember things that I sing. You ever sung some of those little ditties of commercials from 30 years ago? You can't forget them. I'd like not to remember, you know, some of those things maybe, but there's a tune attached to them. And I'm no expert in this kind of thing, but from what I've told, you put it to a tune, it sticks more than if you just recite it. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll take it for what it's worth. All right? When we were children, how did the kids learn the books of the Bible? With a tune, right? How did they learn the 12 apostles? With a tune. Jesus called them one by one. I even to this day remember certain things that aren't even religious because of a little poem or song attached to it. I'm 52 years old and I'm still resorting to this kind of thing. It's a tune often that helps in memory. All right? It is an approved repetition too, by the way. We don't want to vainly be repeating things before God, but this is an approved repetition. Verse number two, just like the first. Let's sing it again. It's okay. It doesn't have to be vain just because we've repeated it. And by the way, some of those choruses get sung a whole lot if you have six verses and you sing every one with the chorus. That's okay. It's a good way for it to stick in our heads, and some good things need to be stuck there. Number six, I believe it is. Sing so as to be filled with the Spirit. Go back to Ephesians one more time. I believe this is the last time you'll need to find it. Ephesians chapter 5, 18. Ephesians 5, 18. Do not be drunk with wine. Well, we understand that's needful. But then he says, be filled with the Spirit. That's the contrary. Don't get drunk and fill your belly with wine. Rather, fill yourself with the Spirit, singing. Verse 19. Singing. When we're filled with something of God, hopefully it will be displayed by singing, as he has said in verse 19. May I suggest it this way? A great way to be guided by the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit of God, be led by the Spirit of God, to be spiritually minded, if you will, is to sing. To sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. All right. Some tips about singing is where I'd like to go for a couple moments here. Bill's going to do some lesson or some instruction sessions with those who are desiring to develop song leading skills and so forth beginning in March. In fact, there will be some sessions along that line. So I'll not steal his thunder here, right here. But just let me say one thing, and I'll let that suffice for now and leave the other to him at some future time. Song leaders, I so much appreciate the way you incorporate at least one song, in some cases all the songs, in connection with that which is being preached. That's great. That's tremendous. I don't think it has to be done, but I want to applaud you for doing so. I think it's a wonderful thing. May I say, though, that also feel free, as far as I'm concerned, feel free to take even a few seconds, a moment maybe, before you sing the song to set it up. Feel free. Feel free to say this next song, Rock of Ages. Notice the second verse, when he says this and this. Now, use it as a teaching tool. Use it as an opportunity to make it a more important part of what we're doing here than just simply, let's do this and get on to the next activity. By the way, I feel the same thing about the Lord's table. There's nothing wrong with walking up, just serving it, don't say a word. There's also nothing wrong with coming up and setting it up and making it a more integral part of what's going on in the services than just let's eat and move on. Well, let's not just sing and move on. If you wish to, for what it's worth, I'll give that by way of suggestion to leaders. Bill, that's all I'm doing. You take it from here. But now, how about some suggestions to singers? That I'm going to dabble in a little bit here. Sing unto the Lord is item number one. What are some suggestions for we singers in the assembly? Make sure you remember the Lord's listening and sing to the Lord. Next, teach others about singing by your singing. Just as Mike was so greatly impressed by George, and I'm sure there's others, but he mentions him, so I'll stay with who he mentioned. I'm sure he's not alone. Others, why do you sing bass, Whit? I sat next to my dad when I was little. Sat right about here in some assemblies, and Daddy sang bass, and so does little Whit when he wants to grow up and be a bass singer like Dad. Well, it doesn't just have to be children. It can also be adults. I would love to sing alto. Well, go sit next to an alto person. I'd like to sing bass. As far as I know, hardly anybody sits up here with me. Come on. And we're going to do some singings coming up also where we may do some practicing and learn how to harmonize better and so forth. That will be coming up in the future too. Next, number three, if you're a note taker, jot this down. Sing out. Sing out. I was so impressed in Nigeria, and I lived there as a youngster in West Africa, and I also visited back there again in the 80s, and it's just so impressive how they sing out. You know, you can sing, and then you can project and sing out, and they are terrific at that, but they don't need to be the only ones. We Americans need to sing out. Next, follow the leader. I know we played that game when we were kids. We need to not play it. We need to sincerely do it when we're singing in the assembly. Follow the leader. And then number five, be conscious of the impression that's being left on visitors. Mike Price almost is a visitor, but not quite, since he has obeyed the gospel. But he reminds us of how impressions are made early on people. And he just, in a few short times, is wonderfully observing what the singing service does for him. He may not be the only one. In fact, I venture to guess he isn't the only one. Someone said, first impressions are lasting impressions. So let's make the singing good for the impression that it might leave on others that are visiting for the first time. No good excuses is my next section, and I'm almost through. No good excuses, and I've got five of them. I'm not a good singer. It doesn't matter. Others are better than me. Well, then go sit next to them. I won't be missed. You will be missed by the Lord. I'm not particularly interested today in singing. Try. I feel depressed. Singing is a great way to get over it. And you may have other good, no good, I started to say, you may have other good excuses. You may have other no good excuses, but those are five that I've got. In conclusion, singing is one exercise that all can participate in. Even if the proverbial, you can't hold a tune in a bucket applies to you, it's still very much your welcome to participate. It is a great source of fellowship. That's pretty much what I was speaking about when I talked about the unison and the promoting of togetherness. When you hear the word fellowship, what do you think? Well, you might say, I think about eating, potlucks. That's little or nothing to do with that. In the biblical sense, it's singing together. It's eating together. It's the activity of worship together. If there is such thing as fellowship, most definitely it includes singing because of the togetherness aspect of it. It's a wonderful way of drawing saints together. One of the Wesley brothers years ago said, if a congregation is lacking in zeal, sing the congregation back into zeal. Sing them back. We even sing a song sometimes, I think it's number 17, revive us again. Sing us into a revival is, I guess, the idea that he was saying. And through melodious repetition, we're helping ourselves learn and to retain by retention. Finally, and this needs to probably be put first, and I did mention it in the introduction, it's just in my conclusion also. Finally, God loves singing. Enough said. God loves singing. That says it all. We need to develop it. You might say, it's just not one of my passions. Work on it. Work on making it a passion. It's amazing how things that we might think we're not interested in, if you will give it a try, it'll grow on you. It'll grow on you more than you thought. Irma likes to say, you know, growing up, I never liked salad. But now I love it. And you may say, I don't like singing. Well, give it a try. You may find you like it you like it more than you thought you would. You've already sold yourself short if you don't even try. May I encourage you with that last point again? God loves singing. That says it all. Let's try to love singing just as our Lord does.